jury will reach a verdict.
Jury duty helps decide how our country is.
We were talking about the time you beat jury duty.
Oh, yeah.
Nobody messes with my jury but me.
Is there any reason you can think of that you would not be able to decide this case in a fair and impartial manner?
No.
Is this really a jury of their peers?
No, what are we doing now?
Yes, we talk.
This week on The Takeaway, we're exploring ideas for improving our modern jury system in our series of Our Peers. And Todd, you, like me, have never served on a jury.
I've been called so many times, I've never been picked. It just left me to my fantasy of being the one holdout for a verdict, the guy who won't budge, but I'll just have to keep dreaming of it.
Okay, so once you are picked for jury service, you're in that box. How do you know what to do? Apparently, there are jury instructions. They tell jurors what they need to know about the law in a particular case and how to come up with the verdict. They explain some pretty critical terms like reasonable doubt. But over history, jury instructions have tended to be full of legal jargon and antiquated or complicated wording. Some states have worked hard in recent years to put jury instructions into plain English so jurors can better understand what's being asked of them. The stakes are high. And Nancy Martyr, who studies the language of jury instructions and also serves on a committee that writes them for the state of Illinois, says we've still got a ways to go.
Jury instructions are written by committees of lawyers and judges, and they try and do the best job that they can and make sure that the instructions state the law clearly, but they don't always remember what it's like for an ordinary citizen who has not been through law school and practicing law to hear terms that are legal in nature. And so the goal of jury instructions should be that they're written so that jurors can understand them.
Are jury instructions the same in every court all over the country, or do they differ by state?
They're the same in federal court throughout the country, but in state court, they differ from state to state. So each state writes its own jury instructions. They can be quite different. And the states that have revisited their jury instructions and tried to make them in plain language have done a much better job at conveying the information to ordinary people.
Right. And there have been efforts in the past decade to sort of update the jury instruction language to make it a little bit maybe more conversational. Can you give us some examples of how the wording has changed over time? I've never been selected for jury duty. I've always wanted to be. I'm from California, and I know that in California, jurors used to be told to look for, quote, a preponderance of evidence. They don't use that language anymore. Now they call that more likely than not, which is, I would say, more conversational. Can you give us some more examples?
Yes. Well, I hope you do get further along.
Me
for
too.
Jury selection. California undertook a great effort, and it took them 6, 7, 8 years to do this. They rewrote their instructions, and they used linguists and lawyers and public comment, and I think they did a very good job of doing it. Here's an example. This is one of the best ones that comes out of California. So the old version was, failure of recollection is common. Innocent misrecollection is not uncommon.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, okay. What is a misrecollection? But the new version is, people often forget things or make mistakes in what they remember.
Okay.
So you're trying to make it in ordinary language and to explain it in a way that your neighbor would understand. Here's another example. And this is reasonable doubt. The old way was, it's defined as follows. It is not a mere possible doubt because everything relating to human affairs is open to some possible or imaginary doubt. It is that state of the case which, after the entire comparison and consideration of all the evidence, leaves the minds of the jurors in that condition that they cannot say they feel an abiding conviction of the truth of the charge.
Okay, that's the old version.
That's the old version.
And the new version?
The new version. proof beyond a reasonable doubt is proof that leaves you with an abiding conviction that the charge is true. The evidence need not eliminate all possible doubt because everything in life is open to some possible or imaginary doubt. In deciding whether the prosecution has proven its case beyond a reasonable doubt, you must impartially compare and consider all the evidence. Unless the evidence proves the defendant guilty beyond a reasonable doubt, he's entitled to an acquittal and you must find him not guilty.
Nancy, I have to tell you, this still seems incredibly complicated to me.
Well, here's the challenge. These are broad concepts, and so it's very hard to be specific, and a room of lawyers probably couldn't agree. Even the Supreme Court struggles to say what reasonable doubt means, and usually it says what it doesn't mean. So it's a broad concept, and intentionally so, I think, because it allows it to be a little bit malleable for each group of jurors who hears it. There are some terms that we're never going to be able to define precisely, but at least the jurors should understand the words that are being used.
What else do we need to do to make jury instructions more clear and to make it easier for jurors to do their jobs?
One is a written copy of the instructions. So traditionally, the jury instructions are read at the end of the trial by the judge. And this can take anywhere from a half hour to several hours. And it's very hard for people to sit and listen and pay attention and understand everything. Having a written copy, your own individual written copy, is an aid, and being able to take notes and mark things on the written copy is also an aid. One thing that's rarely done that would be very helpful is if after the jurors are instructed on the law by the judge, if they could ask questions. Very few judges permit that. And if in committees that draft these instructions, if they actually tested the instructions on lay people, that would be a good thing too.
And what would you tell jurors going into their service?
I would remind jurors that it's a group effort. So if they don't understand reasonable doubt or if they find it too broad a concept, the whole point is to be able to discuss that with fellow jurors and to see the different perspectives and ideas that people have, the different understandings of that. The other thing, some states have permitted jurors to submit written questions to the judge after a witness is done testifying. That's another way of getting your questions answered. They don't have to understand the instructions completely on their own, but they certainly have to work hard and pay attention.
Nancy Marder, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Nancy Marder is professor of law at Chicago Kent College of Law and director of the Justice John Paul Stevens Jury Center. She also sits on the committee in Illinois that makes jury instructions in civil cases.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.